Could we have just another quick word of prayer? Heavenly Father, bow before you. Lord, in thy goodness and thy care for your people, Lord, we call upon you to ask, would you direct and guide these next few minutes, Lord? Would your mind be spoken to my lips? And Lord, would you let the self fall away? And Lord, that your name somehow would receive some honor and some glory that you're so worthy of today. Lord, be with us and touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been good to be here this morning already. Those songs have a way of turning our hearts to the Almighty God, and I was meditating on the thoughts there of what John shared about the angels, that God would have the angels be quiet or quit singing to hear our praise. And just thinking along the lines of that, along with what I have here of just the God that we serve, the God that the creation of the universe, of His heart for mankind. And I have in the book of Exodus, when we look at the children of Israel and their life in Egypt, and as it was brought out, it seems like whenever that's spoken of or we read something from that way, it seems like there's so many of those things, if not all of them, that are an example of our life today with our journey here along this Christian walk here. So I have wanted to take a closer look at it here today, the first chapter of Exodus here, go over this and see how it applies to our life today. We'll read a few verses here, then I'll just make a few comments. First, I'll just say that we know that the whole journey of the Israelites was all part of God's plan from the beginning. Because in Genesis 13:15, He promises the land of Canaan to Abraham. 28:13, He promises it to Abraham's grandson Jacob. And then as Jacob was dying, He told Joseph that God will bring them to the promised land of their fathers. And then at the end of Joseph's life, He tells his family how God will bring them out of the land and into that land of Canaan that He had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as we start with this, it's good to be reminded that this was all God had seen this in the years to come, and it went according to His will and His plan. And how much of this man, say according to His plan, man had a lot to do with it in stumbling along the way. And but the foreknowledge of God was there, I guess, is what I want to say. Is He saw these things all ahead. But the first few verses here, starting Exodus 1, verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and all of the sons that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. So the other thing I would like to, and it goes with a lot of the songs that we sing about God's goodness to mankind. If God has such an interest in mankind, if we think about how God created everything in 6 days, during those 6 days, 5 times during the creation, after it was completed, He said it was good. Then when He made man, He said it was very good. We see that man was extra special to God. The whole creation brings honor to God. I believe the flowers, the waters, the mountains, that all brings glory and honor to God. Was part of why He created it. But I believe we are what God is most interested in, was in man. His thoughts and ambitions go after man. We are the apple of His eye. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. So it is with our life. God has a great interest in us. Everything about us, the joys and the sorrows, the accomplishments and the disappointments, all the ups and downs, He has an interest. And He has a plan in each one of these details. So if we find ourselves in a low area of our life, God is there. God has a plan. God is working something. To find our way through these things can sometimes seem hard, but it brought joy to my heart to know that God just takes a special interest in man, in no matter where we're at. Because we see that through the whole book of Exodus. It's a man travels along the way there, and God is before them, after them, but it's God's attention is there. And I believe so it is today with whatever we may be facing. Now, read verse 6 through 10. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So we see Joseph and his first generation is gone, and there's a new Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. Pharaoh became worried of being overtaken by them because of the way that they were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And then Pharaoh said over them, I think 11, I was supposed to read 11 there too. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phittim and Ramses. So we see that Pharaoh set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. They started building those treasure cities for Pharaoh. And as I compared this to our life, how does this, where is this at, and where, when are we at this point of our life? I was the parallel that I've seen this is to compare this with our life. I see this as a time of when we start to enter accountability and slowly being drawn into the bondage of Satan. And I know these things can be broken down, but it just seemed like the overall picture here is of our life, and I may be speaking more to the unconverted or the ones that haven't made a choice to follow after the Lord Jesus, and also reflect back of our own lives of where we were, but and the horrors of Satan. But we start doing things that when we start in this life of giving in to Satan, we start doing things that build up Satan's kingdom. We start catering to the flesh in sinful ways. The I in us starts to grow. It's all part of the sinful nature that we received back in the garden when Garden of Eve, when Satan deceived Adam and Eve. We know Satan is a real taskmaster and makes slaves out of mankind, and along with that, afflicting burdens on his servants. So we see a parallel here there of what they were facing and what we face as we start growing into that age of accountability and start serving the self and the flesh. Satan starts taking root of us, a hold of us. Verse 12, it says, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they grew, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." And just God's heart is that His people, we see that they kept multiplying. That's always been God's heart for mankind to multiply. In Genesis 1:28, God tells Adam need to be fruitful and multiply. Also, as He blesses Noah and his sons and tells them to be fruitful. So just see an example here of God still having His way in His people. Verse 13, And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And that's another word for that I found was severity. And Satan has the same desire to do that to you if you are in his hands. He wants man to serve him and to hate God. And as we know, as it says in Matthew 6, that we can't serve both. We will either cater to the one and hate the other one, or love the other one and hate the one. And the longer we serve Satan, the more severity or rigor and his serving's desire. The longer that we sit in this situation where if we're at the age of accountability and God is speaking to us, and the longer we sit there, the more severe, it may seem subtle at first, but the more severe that Satan will become. 14, it says, "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick and in all manner of services in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." Satan will take us into bondage to the point of bitterness. Romans 3 talks about the sinfulness of man. Verse 17 says, "The way of peace do they not know?" Which is bondage. And verse 14 says that they are full of bitterness. The ways of man, that's what comes from the ways of man if left to himself. And it's interesting that they point this out, or that's pointed out, how their lives became bitter. And I was just reflecting on bitterness and bondage and fear, and I feel in our own lives that can creep in. And we've heard much talked about that already, and it just the Hebrews 12:15 says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And so we see the seriousness of bitterness there, and goes to, if we want to fail the grace of God, it just talks about a root of it, of bitterness. Here this past week, we had some problems with our drain in the basement, and decided to get someone out to look into it. And they sent a camera down there, and the drains were just plugged with roots. And we had used solid pipe from the basement out to the ditch for that reason, to keep roots out of it. But somewhere in a joint there's some perforated tile around the basement perimeter drain. So it may came from there, but even in the perforated tile, there's such small holes of, you know, to where you could, you wouldn't think anything can get through it. And so, but there's little tiny little roots that go get in there, and then these things grow inside there. And you would think that inside those little, once a little root gets in there, you would think it's just maybe little more little roots will go here and there and travel along the way there to find the water or to sit in the water, but it doesn't. They got bigger. The further away they got from those few roots that got into the drain, the bigger they got. And the guy said those look more like twigs than they do roots. And of course the havoc that it brought, we had at one time we had a foot of water in our basement because it was just completely blocked out anything from flowing through there. And so I just thought of that this last week here of what that the damage that can do and the example that God gives us of that. That's what bitterness can do, and it can fail us of the grace of God. And I know a 70-year-old man that is full of a lot of bitterness. And when I say full of bitterness, is they can talk about a lot of things in the past that has happened where he has been wronged, and a lot of things that he took the short end of the stick, but those things are still hurting and they're still real in him, and it just cripples a person. I think when we're in it, we don't even realize it, and I think that's why we're warned here so much to be diligent, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest just a root of that bitterness comes within us. So God help us, and we can maybe be free from bitterness today, but we may be challenged tomorrow with it. So let us be diligent in looking out for that and praying that the Lord would show it to us in a way that we would repent from it rather than letting it destroy our lives. But here again, we see the severity that Satan will have you serve. For the Israelites, it was so bad that when they heard what should have been extremely good news from Moses, when Moses came along, telling them that he'll bring them out from their burdens of Pharaoh into the promised land, they wouldn't even listen. I don't think I wrote that scripture down, but it's one of the first, or during the time when Moses, one of the times that Moses went to him. They were in such cruel bondage with slavery and had such a broken spirit. Okay, and I did. It's in Exodus 6, verse 7 through 9. They were in such a pit there that they couldn't even, they didn't even hear Moses. They didn't even believe him, whatever it was. And today, isn't that how we meet people today? They're so deep in their sin that they don't think that there's any hope for them. We've probably all met people that are like that. That just, God, I did too many bad things, and He can never forgive me, and just in total bondage to Satan. In that cruel bondage of Satan, it's too great in their lives. It seems like the same picture there that we see here, where the Israelites ended up here, and there may not be anyone in here in that severity of this bondage. But if you had not made that commitment to follow the Lord Jesus, then Satan is still your leader. And the longer it goes, the deeper the bondage. It always starts with a little bit. And that's where Satan wants us at the end, is to where we don't even see any hope for ourselves. And we may think that we we'll never let it get that far. But he'll always take us further than what we want to go. 15 through 21 here. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sapphira, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men but save the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because of the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dwelt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And I don't know where all to put that in, but I do know that. So as we get into the bondage of Satan, if our life is being ruled by him, we know that Satan is out to kill and to steal and to destroy. He's out to devour our lives. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I just thought that's a picture of our life with if we are walking in the will of Satan and have him as our guide. So in saying all this, that's where the chapter ends there, and that's where I'm gonna stop. But there's so much more that when we look at the life of Moses, and I just wrote a few verses down here where God was speaking in Exodus 3:7, when God spoke to Moses in front of the bush, the burning bush. He said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow. So if we're sitting here this morning and we feel like God's not seeing us and doesn't know our situation, why, he does. He knows those things, and he's hearing the cry, and knows that that your taskmaster is mean and making your life miserable. And I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, into a land flowing, taskmaster, and, to a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. So we see that God saw the Israelites there. He saw their cry and their heart and their taskmaster, the bondage. He saw all those things there. And he came up with a plan for them. And he tells Moses, he says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And that's what God has for us today, in a much greater way than what Moses was. We have God's own son of whom he sent down, because he's seen us all in this state of being oppressed with Satan and being as those Israelites were in bondage to, when they were in bondage to Egypt. So God sees that. He made a way for us. So it's we'll maybe talk about that more in the future. But Moses is what Moses did for him, and how that is our Christ today. So I don't have anything more. The last verse there in 22, I thought that maybe go in with the next chapter. So that's all I would have today. I guess my heart was to bring out the severity of Satan and he's real, and he's there to make our lives miserable. But we have an answer to that of Jesus Christ, whom God has given us to, you know, to take away all that bondage and give us a new life. And it's why I was expounding the first part that God has an interest in us. He wants what's best for us. And that song, as Andy expounded on it there, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God has made a way, and it's a, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So it's not some big mountain that we have to try to climb with sharp edges and barely making it. It's a, God has made it a way where the yoke is easy, and he'll lighten our burdens. So we bless God for that, for making that way for his people, for mankind everywhere. So that's all that I would have. The Lord bless you all.